couldn't help it. I know you felt it. Green and white, white and green. Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics?
All right, Celtics fans, we are back with another episode of Boston Celtics Game Day Recap. I'm your host, Guy DiPosito, and the Celtics beat the Heat 104-84. We get a special guest in the house here, little brother, Paul DiPosito. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's dive into this. There's not a lot of negatives to take from today's game, but still want to go through player of the game, run through some of the highs. Again, really no negatives. So we'll dive into the player of the game to start. I'll give it right over to you. What do you got? Who do you got player of the game?
So I really didn't have one player that really stood out to me. I really think that, you know, our big three, Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis really played, you know, to their capabilities tonight. I thought it was a great game from the three of them. I also, we were kind of talking about it in the middle of the game, but I thought, you know, Derek White kind of stepping up. I feel like he's kind of been a little bit quiet in the past couple of games, so it was great to see him kind of in the mix with those top three guys. So I would say good team win tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. This was one of those games, especially after game two, right? Everybody lost their minds. Porzingis, horrible game, 1 of 9 from the field. Holiday, terrible performance. Derek White, pretty terrible up until the fourth quarter, right? But at that point, it was already pretty much set in stone what was happening. So yeah, you're right. Like, this is definitely one of those games where you really got contributions from everybody. And that, to me, is the most important piece. Last game, we saw Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum really go out, play well, but nobody else got involved. And that was the big issue in the majority of that game. But honestly, from a player of the game perspective, I have to give it to Porzingis. And honestly, Derek White, probably the better player in today's game. However, at the end of last game, I came on here, I talked about Porzingis being the key in this series, and I said the Celtics are going to go to him early and hopefully continue that throughout the majority of this game. And that's exactly what they did. Porzingis had the first 8 points in this game, started off extremely strong, still only took 9 shot attempts, so it's not like he was lighting up everything. But I think from a gameplay perspective, they tried to get the ball into the middle a little bit more. He kicked out. He found guys. He moved the ball. Might not get the assist every time, but the ball movement was there. They found they found Porzingis in the middle. That's where this game really came to fruition. That's the Celtics offense that you love to see. But as far as some of the other positives go, what else did you see across this game?
So I really liked Peyton Pritchard's energy. I mean, I really just love the way that he's playing recently. I mean, when he checks into the game, it's just like a sudden burst of energy. And it's not just because of him. He like exudes, you know, like he's like a pre-workout powder. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's like infectious with his energy. I think, you know, he's sprinting up the floor every single time. He's like literally already running before he gets the inbound and trying to get up the court as fast as possible. He's really active on the boards for his size. I really enjoyed watching him play tonight. And honestly, it's been like the past like month or so that I think that he's really bringing a great spark, you know, from the bench.
Yeah, I think the thing that drives me nuts with Pritchard, I love Pritchard. Right. And you're absolutely right with the energy standpoint. The Celtics, the only way they lose this series is if the pace of play slows down. And the part that really frustrated me with last game, he played a lot. Like, his minutes were there. He played 20 plus minutes last game. And even then, he just wasn't aggressive. He didn't take any shots. He didn't really do much. Like, he was in the game, but he wasn't super involved. Tonight, I feel like that shifted. And he didn't go in. He didn't take a million shots. He was 3 of 5 in this one with 7 points. But this was one of those games where he had an impact. Defensively, I thought he stayed with this guy really well. Offensively, he made sure the Celtics were moving the ball. And I think that, to me, is his important piece of this. Like, he needs to go out there and play the same game that he has been playing, you're right, for the last month or two. because the Celtics, when they play fast, are so much more dominant than almost every team in the league. It's the reason they were the number one team this season in the regular season. He has a huge part of that. He's built himself a pretty consistent role, and you love to see that from him. But for me, I mean, honestly, like, again, you kind of mentioned earlier too, this is one of those games. You got contributions everywhere. Last game, game two, it was Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They did their thing. That was it. There was no bench performance whatsoever. You got absolutely nothing from Porzingis and Holiday. White contributed a little bit late. But this is one of those games. You got contributions pretty much everywhere. Jrue Holiday, not a phenomenal game from an offensive standpoint. Went the first two quarters without taking a single shot. Ended the night with just 3 points. However, Jrue Holiday has been doing so much on the defensive end, like quarterbacking the entire defense. And I think that, to me, is the part that I find most impressive. What were you seeing from him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to leave a little bit of the Holiday talk towards the back half of of this podcast. But I mean, yeah, defensively, I don't want to say like Holiday is a bad part of, you know, this game, because he really isn't. There's so much that he does. I just want him to be a little bit more aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, I think overall defense is one other thing that I wanted to kind of talk in this part of the podcast, is that, you know, it was like that swarm mentality. I thought we were very active with our hands, which also kind of led to some ticky-tack fouls and got us into some early foul trouble in the second quarter. But I thought our defense was very aggressive, and we just made Miami look uncomfortable. I don't know if they felt it or not, but Caleb Martin just dribbled around and wanted to hand the ball off to literally anybody. And then he ended up just giving an underhand pass to the people sitting courtside. It was just, there was a couple of those situations that I was just like, they have no idea what to do. Bam was pretty aggressive. I thought Jaime was aggressive as well, but I didn't see like the Tyler Hero, the Caleb Martin, like attacking like they did last game. And I think that's really in part because our defense was so aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the defense last game, right, non-existent as far as chasing people off the three-point line goes. That was the reason that the Miami Heat walked away with that victory. And you could tell that was a huge emphasis going into this game. And again, like, while Holiday might not have a huge impact, he did have 6 assists on the offensive side. He did move the ball really well. The defensive side, that is where this game really shifted. I mean, we held the Miami Heat to 84 points. Right, 12 points in the first, 22 in the third, 23 in the fourth. Like, this was an unbelievable defensive performance. And you see it in the three-point shots, right? Like, last game, they had, I think it was 23. It was a franchise record, 23 three-point makes. They only took 28 in this entire game. They were 9 of 28, 32%. So that right there is, to me, the massive difference in this game. And a lot of that you can credit to Jrue Holiday, you can credit to Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They all chased all of these guys off the three-point line. That, to me, was the most important piece.
I also think that a big part that helped the Celtics kind of stay in control the whole time was the turnover margin. I mean, 5 turnovers for the Celtics versus 12 for the Miami Heat, and this goes back to kind of what I was saying. We just made them feel uncomfortable, or look uncomfortable at least, and we just seemed kind of in control the entire game.
Yeah, the most important piece with the turnover battle is the fact that a lot of Miami's turnovers were live ball turnovers. That is the major difference in this. Celtics did a great job keeping control of the ball. 6 turnovers in this game. It's not like Miami turned the ball over a lot, though. 12 turnovers in a playoff game, not a lot of turnovers, but they were all live ball, meaning we got a great steal, a great block, whatever it may be. We get out 24 points off of their 12 turnovers. Like, that right there is taking advantage. Anytime you can get, you can take advantage of live ball turnovers and turn it into points, it's just the Miami Heat giving us a little bucket, right? It's easy. You get out in transition, you make something happen. And that, to me, I get, again, it all comes back to the defensive pressure. And you get a lot of that. Like, when you have Jrue Holiday, Derek White at the top there, you have two of the best on-ball defenders in the league. And they made it hell for the Miami Heat in this game. You needed that. You needed every bit of it. And again, you weren't really getting that as much in game two. So that, to me, huge piece. But outside of that, I mean, honestly, the Celtics, while it wasn't their best three-point shooting percentage game, they were only 11 of 37 in this game, so 30%. To me, I still want that number up. I still think the Celtics should be somewhere in the 40 range. But percentage-wise, I mean, again, either both percentage and the amount of threes that they're taking, to me, a little low. And you see it. I mean, we only scored 104 points. So this isn't a phenomenal out, like, offensive game for this team. But they won this game 100% on the defensive end. That, to me, most important piece. But from a ball movement standpoint, you saw a lot of guys get involved. You saw Jason Tatum. You saw Jaylen Brown get theirs, but not really be super ball dominant. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, because this is like a complete 180 from what we saw in game two. It was very much Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, go get yours. Nobody else really contributed. But tonight, much more balanced offense. What did you see on that side?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was trying to, you know, get across when I was saying, you know, I don't have one, you know, player of the game. This was a team game. I mean, seriously, going from Tatum to 22, and then kind of our, you know, 22, 18, 16, 22 across our starters besides Jrue Holiday, and then even Al Horford getting 9 off the bench. I really think that it was, this was a good team win. It's nice to kind of see, like you said, like a balance between scorers and not seeing, I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have maybe a 50-point scorer. I'm not gonna say that that's not, you know, interesting and fun to watch, but you know, these are the teams, I mean, the games that, you know, are championship caliber.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Listen, this game wasn't perfect. I do want to dive into some of the negatives. Keep that section super short. But before we dive into that, I want to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. If you're looking to buy or sell in the near future, meet Deb Burke, your trusted realtor at Compass Real Estate, serving Massachusetts and New Hampshire. With a passion for finding dream homes, Deb is committed to making your real estate journey a breeze. Whether you're buying or selling, Deb's got your back. Reach out today at 978-930-4621 or email deb.burke@compass.com to start your next chapter. Let's turn your real estate dreams into reality. Are you tired of insurance options that leave you feeling lost in the dark? Look no further than Joe Lyman of Brightway Insurance. Joe goes above and beyond to find the perfect coverage for you. So whether it's homeowners, renters, car, commercial, or even pet insurance, Joe will make sure you're protected where and when it matters most. Contact Joe at joe.lyman@brightwayinsurance.com today and let him brighten your path to peace of mind. So whether you're driving, working out, or just relaxing, make sure to check out Joe Lyman at Brightway Insurance. Brightway Insurance, your beacon in the world of insurance. Hey, Boston Celtics fans, are you ready to experience the thrill of an epic game at the TD Garden? Look no further than SeatGeek, your go-to source for the best Celtics tickets in town. With SeatGeek, finding the perfect seats to catch all the Celtics action has never been easier. From courtside to the nosebleeds, they've got it all, and they've got it at the best prices. Plus, they even rate every deal on a scale of 1 to 10 to help you find the best value. But here's the deal. When you use the special promo code VSN, you'll get an exclusive discount. So why pay more when you can use VSN and save on your Boston Celtics tickets? All right, so want to dive into some of the negatives. Like I said, try to keep this section super short here. I'll toss it over to you. What do you got as far as negatives are concerned in this game?
I don't want to say the entire second half, but we definitely took our, you know, foot off the pedal. We actually ended up losing the second half in terms of points by 3 points, which was, I don't want to say shocking, but we kind of just kept our lead at about 20 to 25 the entire game after, you know, the second quarter. I don't think we were super aggressive, but they also didn't need to be necessarily. So I think they were, it seemed like the Celtics were comfortable with the lead and they weren't, you know, pushing and trying to get it to 30. I think if we play, I mean, if we played like the first half in the second half, we could have easily won by 50 points. And, you know, maybe our starters were on the bench with 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. So,
yeah, I mean, this is a game where the lead got up to 29. But honestly, that entire second half, the Celtics were pretty comfortable, right? Like, I don't know that the lead got down lower than 18. I think it may have got to 18 at one point in that fourth quarter. We did outscore them 24-22 in the third, but you're right. I mean, we were outscored 23-17 in that fourth quarter, and honestly, I think a large portion of that was the Celtics were pretty consistently over an 18-point lead at that point, and they were just trying to kill as much time as possible. And we've seen that become a huge problem, right? When the Celtics stop playing the basketball that they are so accustomed to, things start to go awry, right? And while it might not be super concerning in a game where you did have a 29-point lead, if the Celtics let go of the game, let go of the reins a little bit, that's where things can start to get a little bit dicey, especially against a better team. Again, nothing super concerning, but we did see that in game two, and hopefully you don't see it against a better team.
Yeah, I think the only other like negative, I guess I'd say, is kind of the play by Sam Hauser today. I don't know. I was kind of waiting for him to play like he has been. Honestly, after game one of this series, if I were to come on this podcast, I probably would have gave him maybe not player of the game, but maybe like unsung hero, because I thought his defense was absolutely lights out. Had a couple blocks the game in game one. Shot obviously lights out.
I think he was 4 of 6.
I was gonna say I think he may have missed one, but yeah, maybe two. I thought he played really well. I don't think he was necessarily, you know, he definitely wasn't leading any of the like box scores or anything like that. But like I said, unsung hero. And then tonight it was just a flat game. I think defensively he was probably maybe too active with his hands, and he had a couple just like I said, ticky-tack fouls that definitely didn't need to happen. And then, I just feel like he didn't find a shot. Wasn't super impressed with him, but I wouldn't really say, like, you know, this guy's going to be killing us down the road. I just don't think he had a great game, so I would definitely put him in this section.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm, like, looking at the stats right now. 20 minutes in this game for Sam Hauser. I don't remember 20 minutes. Like, Peyton Pritchard, 25, Al Horford, 22, both of them had impacts on this game. To me, you're right. Like, this is one of those games for Sam Hauser. Like, I don't really remember anything that he did. He was 1 of 5 from three, had 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, literally four fouls in 20 minutes. He was somehow a plus 15 because, frankly, the Celtics were just running over the Heat for the majority of this game. But this was a game where he really just did not have much of an impact. Didn't really do much. 2 of 6 from the field. Again, 1 of 5 from three. Like, this is just one of those games. Wasn't his best. And honestly, it's coming off of game two where nobody on the bench did anything. So slightly concerning. But again, it's a huge 20-point win. One thing I will say, this is another game. We did see Kornet come back. This was his first game this postseason. But outside of that, I mean, he played 5 minutes. This was another game. Joe Mazzulla kept to your typical 8-man rotation. The one thing that kind of surprised me was, you know, going double big in the first quarter. They actually gave Kornet a little bit of run before they even put Hauser in this game. Again, only played 5 minutes, so it's not like they really entrusted that lineup for a lot during this game. But it's just another one of those little wrinkles. Like, I don't know if Joe Mazzulla is going to try to continue to give him 5 minutes just to keep Al Horford's minutes low. But this is another one. I mean, even Porzingis, 27 minutes. So both of those guys, Al Horford and Porzingis, low minutes. That to me, I mean, this is a Miami Heat team. Like, they play pretty small, right? So it's not a series where you necessarily need major minutes from these guys. It's just an interesting lineup choice, I guess, in my opinion. But yeah, anything else that you have from this game you want to touch on?
No, I don't think I have anything else from this game. I just want to kind of give a quick overview of how the series is going. I think obviously when coming into the series, no Jimmy Butler and no Terry Rozier, I thought I agreed with you in your take. This should have been a sweep, not even like...
Hey, I said five games, all right?
I know, but you wanted to say sweep, and I was like, I was 90% sure that it was going to be a sweep. The one thing I failed to, think of was Eric Spoelstra having, a big impact and, turning around and forcing his team to kind of, and motivating them to have a great game like they did in game two. I think that run is over now. I can say that I feel pretty confident. This is the way our team should play. This is the type of, result that we should have against the Heat for the next two games. I'm feeling really confident, that we can continue to play this way. And the last thing I want to say is Miami Heat's fans, it felt like they were treating it like a preseason game. There was absolutely no energy. There was empty seats. Like, I didn't get the playoff feel. Like, when you watch a game at, like, Madison Square Garden, or you watch one at TD Garden, like, those fans have, like, almost an impact on the game. And maybe it's because we went out to a quick lead. I mean, 12 points in the first quarter probably shut them up, to be completely honest. But they just were not in it. And I feel like that doesn't help a team like the Heat that needs as much help as possible.
There were let's go Celtics chants in the fourth quarter of this game that would never, ever happen in Boston. You're right. Like, it's comical. Like, I've got family that lives in Miami, big Heat fan, and it's hysterical. It's hysterical. They can't get to the stadium on time. They leave early. There's traffic, blah, blah, blah. They want to complain about all of it. But it's just funny. Like, the Celtics fans travel really well. And that's their sixth man, right? That, to me, love to see it. But no, I love the fact that you're confident about the Celtics. So there was a lot of fans after game two that were not.
And it was very easy to not be confident after game two. Is it a bad game?
Fair. No, but this is one of those games where you saw the Celtics step up from an intensity standpoint. Like, listen, the Miami Heat, they threw a couple zones at the Celtics in game two, and Porzingis wasn't there to change it, right? Like, I talked about this in the earlier podcast. Like, Kristaps Porzingis is the reason, like, the Miami Heat zone is the reason that they brought Porzingis in. Like, he has the ability to break the zone because he can do everything. He can post up. He can hit you from deep. And we didn't see that in game two. Tonight, the Miami Heat went to that zone in the second quarter. The Celtics had three straight buckets, two from beyond the arc, all after getting the ball into Porzingis. And Eric Spoelstra immediately calls a timeout, and it changes. Like, they come out of the zone. They go back to man-to-man. And the entire game after that was gravy. We outscored them 42-27 in the second. And we kept a 20-point lead pretty much ever since then. So you're right. Like, I think this is one of those games where Joe Mazzulla, regardless of what you might think of him, he made adjustments. He figured out, like, he made sure that all of the guys were extending out to the three-point line, not giving up the easy buckets. There were still a couple here and there, right? But he wasn't giving up that three-point line like he was in game two. They tried to make it a point to get into the paint, and I think that, to me, changed the entire game, changed the entire series, right? So I like that you're confident, and I agree. Like, I think the Celtics have this figured out. I'm sure Spoelstra will come with another sort of wrinkle, but this is another good game. Celtics take a 2-1 lead after a 104-84 win. Nice 20-point victory. Paul, I appreciate you hopping on the pod.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's go Seas.
Let's go Seas. That's where we're going to wrap things up for tonight, guys. Have a great night, Celtics fans. Yeah. We'll talk soon. You couldn't help it. I know you felt it. Green and white, white and green. Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics?